was 2 weeks.
He was kind of looking forward to that.
I think he had a good time. Y'all see the pictures? I guess to them, birds are just a pest.
Bag all of them.
Honey as soon as you can, yeah. The farmers are very, very accommodating. Please come hunt my food.
Yeah.
Said they had a good time.
He was up there nearly 2 weeks? They're ready to play some time, huh?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yes, sir.
Yes, looks like this was technically at the start a P&Z commission meeting. So as chairman of the P&Z, I will call to order the meeting. The mayor has to do the same.
So this special joint meeting of P&Z call to order.
And then the next item is the approval of the agenda, P&Z agenda. Is there a motion of the P&Z commission members here?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
I call for the approval of the agenda, town council.
So moved.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next item is approval of the regular P&Z meeting for September 4th, the amendments, September 4th. Just take a second to look at it. Are there any changes to the amendments? Okay, is there a motion to approve the amendments from September 4th, P&Z?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, I guess the old business, which is the major reason why we're here, obviously, is the look at the status of the potential for a mixed-use overlay for K Avenue. And I believe that the starting point would be a PowerPoint presentation that we put together kind of discussing a little bit about the history and some of the research that we've done, and you know, then open it up for discussion and public comments and so forth. So, and so we've got about 15 slides, you know, probably not more than about 15 minutes here. Just some quotes that you know, I put together in terms of mixed use, and for people that don't know what mixed use is, basically it's within the same property, having a combination of retail. Typically on the first floor would be a retail, and then on the upper floor, second floor, possibly third floor, you'd have some sort of a residential use. You know, clearly this is one of the trends, kind of the modern trends in planning right now. Generally people see it as very beneficial in terms of many different, for many different reasons. It's a productive use of space, it adds vitality to urban areas, it you know, creates a you know, pedestrian-friendly, transit-oriented, vertically integrated mixed-use opportunity combining residential, retail, commercial properties. So there's certainly a lot of interest, and a lot of towns, and you know, both large cities as well as smaller communities, you know, beach communities, non-beach communities, have moved to some aspect of mixed-use for some of their areas. The land use plan 2006 clearly identifies K Avenue from 3rd to 7th Avenue as a potential mixed use commercial corridor. You know, again, combining commercial and residential in the same building. As you can see here in the next slide that I have, I actually cut and paste from the land use plan. A couple quotes here. One is a desire to allow commercial and mixed use of parcels abutting K Avenue. and that the town may consider, it doesn't demand that it does, but it may consider expanding the commercial district to include K Avenue. So again, you know, here's some direct cut and paste from the 2006 land use plan that identifies that. And right there, I know it's hard to read, but basically you can see, I put this up because of the zoning map, you know, looking to extend that commercial activity from 3rd up to 7th right there. And again, we're not looking at properties beyond the properties that are abutting K Avenue.
Does that mean that you're looking only at 100 feet?
I'm sorry, 100 feet?
Is that what you're saying?
The properties that would
feet,
be...
Nothing more than 100 feet abuts K Avenue. So you're telling
me... So it'd be the 100 feet. I mean, it would be the 100 feet. It would be the properties that are abutting K Avenue from 3rd up to 7th. You're not looking at the properties behind that.
Okay, so it's 100 feet off K.
Yes.
That's where the line would be drawn.
The charge, to, you know, a little bit of the history of why we're here. You know, again, we do have the 2006 land use plan. 2007, there was a Sawyer study of the B1 district that really developed the architectural ideals for B1. In that particular Sawyer study, it recognized, basically pulling the information from the land use plan, that K Avenue would have a potential for mixed use, and so it is identified in the report right there. At the same time, one of the key focal points of the Sawyer study of the B1 district is the idea of form-based planning. You know, looking at form-based planning as identifying design elements to the development in the commercial areas. And so we've been discussing as a P&Z commission form-based planning now for several years. Again, it was identified, as you can see the cut and paste right there in the Sawyer plan, talking about form-based planning. As well as that's one of the current planning practices in the United States right now, is to get away from zoning as what we have here in Kiri Beach and most places, which is called Euclidean zoning. Basically, you know, it's a land use, you chunk out a piece of territory and you say that these are the uses that can occur on that particular without any consideration of design elements and so forth. Form-based planning tries to look at design elements in terms of the community trying to identify what sort of look they want to have for whatever reasons, and then trying to create design elements to encourage property development that have those design characteristics. And that's the nature of form-based planning. Again, that's a very common sort of practice that we've seen now in the last several years, and certainly one of the driving elements of planning now within the United States, as we're trying to get away from basically Euclidean or land use type of designations for zoning. Early in 2001, the town council formally charged planning and zoning to examine the K Avenue issue as per the 2006 land use plan. I believe the mayor raised that point, and it was approved by the council that formally charges us to look at this. We started off with a public hearing. We had that on November 1st of 2011, I believe. It was a kind of a joint workshop with the town council at that time. And, you know, had a number of discussions that came out of that. I believe we had about five or six property owners, interested property owners here. And basically the outcomes of the 2011 public hearing that we had back then was one, obviously a need for additional study of different approaches for a mixed use, if we do want to go to mixed use on the K Avenue. Increased understanding basically of current property owners about the current zoning. And when I say rights right there, I'm talking about there. I think there was a general feeling that even though these are residential zoned areas, in fact, there is still a lot of commercial or retail activity that could actually occur on that. And I've got some quotes as to what is currently allowed in the zoning, you know, along that 3rd to 7th area on K Avenue. Understand better the desires not only the affected property owners but the town in general through additional public hearings and identify whether the town council after that initial hearing was had continued interest in examining the possibility of the K Avenue commercial corridor. I actually went back to the council a month or two afterwards and you know, again, there was a second kind of formal charge at that particular time to continue looking at this. Obviously, another thing that came out of the discussion is that there were implications for parking. Several of the property owners raised issues about parking issues, landscaping issues, the sidewalk issue, you know, in terms of the different sides of K Avenue. And then another issue is to take into account the current zoning map, because Kerry Beach zoning is somewhat unusual, is that it's based upon street boundaries. So when you look at the commercial zoning, you look at the residential zoning, it goes down the middle of the street. The boundaries between the different zoning categories are basically in the middle of the street, where most zoning in the United States that's of more current nature look more at adjacent boundaries. So, for example, when you look at the actual commercial zoning here in Kerry Beach, the commercial zoning goes to the street boundary, which on the back side of, let's say, Fort Fisher Avenue, you would have basically everything's residential right there because it's not on the primary commercial strip, but in fact that technically is in a commercial zone, and so those houses could actually do commercial types of activities. So given that we don't have kind of a normal zoning map which is based upon adjacent boundaries rather than street boundaries, we have to consider that in anything that we do in terms of looking at a commercial district, and that typically would mean either an overlay district onto a kind of a segment or a component of the existing zoning boundaries. The current zoning in K Avenue right now, 3rd to 5th, is zoned RA2, and just for the folks that are here that may not be familiar with actually what is allowed in an RA2 or residential zoning, one- and two-family dwellings, but you also have professional offices that are allowed in the residence, such as doctors, dentists, lawyers, engineers, and architects. Home occupations, dressmaking, music teaching, preserving, home cooking, laundry. It specifically excludes beauty parlors, by the way. The P&Z did a modification a couple months ago in terms of the definition of home occupation, to kind of tighten that up a little bit, so I included the definition of home occupation right there. You could have places of worship, colleges, schools, public libraries, museum, art galleries, public buildings. And you can have accessory type of buildings. Those are all currently allowed within the RA2 zoning right now. Setback requirements, get 20 feet, 5 feet on the side, and then rear is 10 feet. And there are parking requirements related to that, and I'll talk about parking requirements in a second. From 5th to 7th, that is zoned currently RA1. It's a little more restrictive in terms of what uses are allowed. One-family dwellings, again, places of worship. And you could have colleges, schools, and public buildings there, public museums, art gallery, as well as home occupation. So that's the current situation right now. So as you can see, it's not simply or strictly residential, but it does allow some commercial and retail type of activities. I'm not going to go through this. This is simply the parking requirements, if anybody is interested, because parking does come up at one of the major issues. We were asked to kind of look and see what some of the other local communities are doing, beach communities. So as a P&Z group, we went out and looked at three different local communities, Wrightsville Beach, Sunset Beach, and Southport. So to kind of finish up the presentation as to where we are right now and kind of think about some of the options in terms of getting some guidance and some feedback, I want to look at each one of those. We talked to the chairperson of the Wrightsville Beach Planning and Zoning Commission, also got into their various websites and ordinances, also looked at the minutes for the last year in terms of both the Planning Commission as well as the town council there. They have several different areas in the existing zoning targeted to a mixed use. These are currently commercial zoning, not residential zoning, but what they're trying to do is take their existing commercial zoning, which is strictly commercial, and try to create a mixed use, add a residential component to that right now. So their focus is a little bit different than ours, which is to look at a residential and kind of think maybe commercial uses there. They're actually looking at commercial uses, existing commercial zoning, and trying to do some sort of mixed use related to that. What they use is what's called a mixed use conditional use permit. They don't do an overlay, although they have identified certain areas in the commercial for the application of the mixed use conditional use permit. They're using the mixed use conditional use permit as their mechanism to do this. It's in section 155.205 and 155.211 in their code of ordinances. Currently in those commercial areas, I believe there's three commercial areas that they're looking at that the mixed-use conditional use permit applies to. They currently have a 40-foot height limit there. They do have certain setback and parking requirements. These are going to stay the same because, again, they're not adding a commercial overlay to residential. You know, it's existing commercial, so they're adding a residential. Talking to the chairperson of the Planning and Zoning Commission and looking at the minutes, these have been in existence for about 5 years. So far, there's not been a single mixed-use developed. They've had several applications. None have come to fruition. They do have one now that looks like it may happen with one of the restaurants right there. In 2012, just very, very recently, in terms of trying to encourage more mixed use, the council asked P&Z, this is in Wrightsville Beach, to investigate possible changes to encourage more mixed use development. In particular, increase the maximum building height above the 40 feet, but there'd be a specific trade-off with that if you increase the height and somebody comes in applying under the conditional use permit, say for a 45 or 50 foot height extension, that they would have to now provide deeper setbacks, because actually in these commercial areas they have a 0 foot setback. I mean, you have a sidewalk and then you have the building right there. So if you're going to go above 40 feet, that you'd have to go to 5 or 10 foot. And the idea here is to create more additional green space within their commercial areas. They're also talking about decreasing the parking requirements. Should point out that many uses actually currently don't require additional parking in Wrightsville Beach. And they have a list of probably about 30 different uses that don't require additional parking, because there's no place to put additional parking when you have a zero lot line. But in the certain areas that do require decreased parking requirements, one of the things that the Planning and Zoning Commission has to look at is maybe to decrease those parking requirements as to some percentage of what it would normally be. So if you had something that would require maybe 10 additional parking spaces, then it might be down to 4 if they're just going to be applied 40%. But basically, they haven't had a whole lot of luck. There's been a lot of interest in it. People have been talking to them. It's discussed almost every single month by the Council of the Planning and Zoning Commission. But again, there hasn't been a single development in place as of yet in Wrightsville Beach. Sunset Beach, several of the P&Z members went down there. I believe a couple of them went down twice. And again, if any of the P&Z people want to jump into this, Sunset Beach has done things a little bit differently. They actually had a big chunk of land that was privately owned that was not developed. So they're not trying to create something on top of something that's already there, but they actually had a chunk of land that was not developed called the Village at Sunset Beach. What they did there, they basically made a whole new zoning for that particular chunk. So they're not doing conditional use permits, they're not doing overlay. They just took that area and created a mixed-use zoning for that particular area there. Very impressive. I mean, a very, very nice area. And I forget the director that we talked to. What was his name?
Sandy Wood.
Sandy Wood, yeah. Sandy Wood. Very positive. He said that's one of the show pieces right now, Sunset Beach. They're extremely happy with it. And he was very proud to show us around and so forth. Got a couple pictures there as to what it is. And again, you can see it's retail on the bottom and then residential on the top right there. Because it's a separate zoning area, they basically took a form-based planning process there where they have very distinctive architectural requirements and zoning and design characteristics for anything that goes in there. So they have a mixed-use component in this particular area. They also have some condos that have ground floor patio entrances. They've very restrictive sign ordinances in this particular area. They're all 6 foot, externally lit, sort of things. It clearly is the centerpiece for Sunset Beach, the entry to Sunset Beach. As I said, they're very, very proud of it. They have street lamps, redesigned street lamps, trash receptacles, and street signs are upgraded. They've also buried all the power lines. I should point out that Sunset Beach is aggressively, at their own dollar, burying all the power lines in Sunset Beach. I think that's a very important part of making it attractive for tourists, and so they are... they're burying all the power lines whenever they get extra money from it. So, and this area, clearly has underground power lines and utilities.
I would mention that the occupancy rate across the
board in terms of their retail establishments, the commercial entities, as well as the condos, the occupancy is extraordinarily high.
Yeah.
So it's very, very popular. John and I, when we went down, had lunch at a nice place down there, Fibber McGee's or something like that, I think it was, John.
I think I got some more pictures.
Oh, you have more pictures? Okay, it's a very high quality place. The stores were really neat, good architecture. As Craig was saying, form-based zoning completely. It was a very attractive place and very pleasant to be there, easy parking. And Sandy certainly and his assistant were extraordinarily proud of it, as he said that the entire community was, that this entire mixed-use district is in fact the centerpiece of their community now.
The final one we looked at was Southport. We had one or two members of P&Z go down to Southport, and they talked with Wayne Strickland, who's a building inspector for the city of Southport. They take the same approach as Riceville Beach. They take a conditional use permit process. It's in the Uniform Development Ordinance, Article 12. One of the things that the interview identified is parking. They've had two projects, and I've got pictures of them in a second. One is on the 400 block of Howe Street, which has off-street parking underneath. They have another one in St. George and Howe Street that does not have parking, I guess, and that there was a concern expressed about that, that there was some parking issues there. Southport has approved several projects that were never built that did have remote parking. So again, Southport does have a mixed use capability, but they do it through a conditional use permit, very similar to Riceville Beach. Here, I just cut and paste actually their whole conditional use permit process for the mixed use. So you can see that when you're doing a conditional use permit process, it really doesn't, it's not a very long process. It's a conditional use permit. You're going to have some characteristics in terms of setback requirements and those sort of things, but you typically don't have a lot of design elements when you have a conditional use permit approach to mixed use versus an overlay district where you're going to have a lot of design elements as part of that overlay district. There's the two projects that are right there. And basically, as I said, a fairly short presentation right there, but the next step, directions from the council. It seems to be that there's two basic approaches that we've seen out there. One is that given our existing zoning where it doesn't make sense to change the whole zoning because then that would affect other properties that aren't abutting K Avenue. So if you change the whole RA1 zoning or the RA2 zoning, that would affect areas that you really don't want to have as a commercial district. So again, that's one of the issues related to how we have our zoning map set up in Cherry Beach. So in order of just strictly staying with the K Avenue, that would the properties abutting K Avenue, one option is to do that overlay mixed-use district that we've been talking about. Typically, when you have an overlay mixed-use district, as I mentioned, you're going to have design elements incorporated in that, some sort of a form-based planning in that, try to decide what you want that area to look at and try to encourage the development along those design elements through some sort of a form-based or, some design characteristics as part of that overlay district. In addition, in an overlay district, you typically have normal planning elements such as, different setback requirements, parking requirements, what uses could be allowed. You may not want to allow all the uses, for example, that you'd have in the B1 district. You may have more limited uses in terms of lower density type of retail activities and that. You can build that into an overlay use district. Another approach is to take the approach that Riceville Beach has taken, as well as Southport, and do some sort of conditional use permit on K Avenue. Again, you can limit that to a specific area within the K Avenue, such as, again, the properties abutting K Avenue. This can be done with or without design elements. Typically, when you have a conditional use permit approach to this, you don't have a lot of design elements as part of that. You would have some setback requirements and some of the normal planning elements, but typically you wouldn't have design elements incorporated into a conditional use permit process. Or again, the third option is simply to table the proposal for right now. And so with that, that kind of concludes. Just kind of open it to other P&Z members who did a lot of work in terms of trekking out to these different places and talking to the different people. If anybody wants to add anything from P&Z to this.
I guess one comment I'll add about Southport when I went there.
building sizes, large and small. We made it work. Some obviously were on more than one lot, combined lots. The very first one they did in '05, the town, the city of Southport let them do it without any planning or parking requirements, and that didn't work. It's been difficult. So they've had the developers and builders get more creative with it, and pretty much succeeded. The one that has parking underneath wasn't real attractive, that building at all. The ones that had residential parking in the rear and the business parking in the front, those look really good. I mean, to me, the challenge we have is just getting the size right. Take a 50 by 100-foot lot and try and put a mixed-use building on there and provide for parking. That's the challenge. If you're just talking about one lot.
You know, and certainly our situation is different than the three. You know, again, in Sunset, you had a dedicated piece of property that wasn't developed that they could create as a whole zoning area. Rysel Beach is trying to take a commercial area and try to make it more residential, make it more residential friendly. Southport, you know, I think it's primarily a commercial area that they're doing this, but they also have larger undeveloped lots that they can put larger packages on. And we're, you know, different. I mean, we're certainly different in terms of that. John brought in something that, you know, maybe it's important to kind of talk about this.
A couple of comments. This was a project that came before the PMD board back in 05, began in 06. It was a mixed use. Retail on the bottom floor and residences on the top two floors. I provided the first three copies that showed an overview of what they had planned on. It never came to fruition, but it was approved by PMZ and also council at the time.
That was in 2005.
Yeah, 2005, early 2006.
Well, was it on 421 or on the KAV?
Yeah,
it was actually down on the lot, empty lots.
It's corner of 30K.
30K.
30K. So that actually was a commercial zone. Or business zone, that's a B1. So it didn't have to go through the process of the document.
And it wasn't, from my understanding, John, a lack of interest in moving forward with it in terms of it being marketable and all that. It was just that the economy hit the skids.
As always.
So did you have an overlay of all the properties that would be affected on the screen?
I don't have it on the screen. The zoning map.
Well, you sort of had it. It was a small point.
Yeah,
your
yeah,
third
it's
slide.
Kind of hard to tell on that.
Yeah, if you go out of PowerPoint and maximize just that. Go out.
It might blur, but you can try.
When you put it on there, if you could, you got to get out of PowerPoint presentation there.
You know what I did is I cut the whole page out.
I got you. Like
Right. Greg, it'd be easier for you to work from this.
It's also in your package.
It's not real clear what it is.
Oh, it's on the back.
That's what it is in the room.
You guys should get it back now.
You need one?
Okay, on the south side, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 properties on the south side. Ten properties on the south side. So, about 25, 26 properties.
For clarity purposes, you're talking abutting Bay Avenue. We're talking about fronting.
Fronting. I use the word abutting because that's the word that's used in the language code.
Right. In terms
but basically fronting people.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to worry about the back yards on that block. Yeah. Right.
Sure.
The RA1 business, how this two big buildings get built over there, if that's
one residence?
Yeah.
That was actually zone B2, not one area.
supposed to be, but it hadn't been changed, had it?
It's zone B2 right now, always has been.
You can have a telephone.
Are we asking questions?
Yeah, I mean, this is a...
It's just a bull session.
Yeah, this is a work session.
I got a couple of questions. I'm not trying to be probably nice here. Old buddies in planning and zoning, it's almost impossible to downgrade areas unless you were, had permission of all the property owners. It's awful hard to go from an RA2 to an RA1 to some type of commercial zone. Secondly, this committee stopped us years ago from taking 100-foot lots off the backside of D1 Third Street because it would be considered spot zoning and approved spot zone. Now, I do realize times change, and I'm an old man, it's happened a good while ago. Might need to see if this is still the way things go. It's hard to downgrade. Well, it's just like you guys, if you live in an RA1 here, you really wouldn't want the next guy to you running the bar.
Well, you know, I can speak to, this is not spot zoning, okay? An overlay district is not spot zoning. It's specifically not, spot zoning would be to kind of carve out that little, you know, couple pieces of property and create a new zoning for that.
At that time, anything that wasn't entire blocks was considered spot zoning. Like I say, it could very well be changed. Maybe they've got a new roof. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
The other thing about downgrading, most city, at least from what I can tell, most cities see this as an upgrade, not a downgrade.
I don't think they're looking at zoning, like, look, if they're doing that, because RA1 is your number one zone. Yeah.
And the thing about bars and stuff like that, that's why it's very important when you have these mixed use things, you identify the uses and you do not allow certain uses like bars and that sort of thing. In fact, as you can see, you actually do have business activities in an RA1 zone and an RA2 zone right now. I mean, right now, somebody could put a school right there. They could put a private school, they could put a private museum.
Put a church.
Yeah, they could put a church, they could...
Art gallery.
Art galleries. I mean, there's already elements in the existing zoning that allow retail and business type of activities.
So how would that affect the tax base if you changed a property from RA1 to mixed use?
I do not have an answer for that.
Well, it's an important question.
No, it is. In fact, that raises the whole issue whether it's upgrading or downgrading. You know, I mean, something could happen to come in. I mean, I assume if you have a mixed use, and, you know, that's a real big question. I have to admit, when we talk to people, we never ask them about that. It's like, you know, like at Wrightsville Beach, they've done exactly the same thing. Whether, if we do a mixed use overlay, for example, would that affect the tax basis for the whole overlay district? Or would it simply affect what people then put into that particular? I guess it would probably be more the latter.
Likely it'd be the whole overlay. I have a piece of property.
That's a good question.
I had a piece of property in the last appraisal that was misappraised 4 years ago, and the appraisal before that, evidently, not quite since. So the appraiser this time discovered that it was actually a piece of commercial property. Well, the tax appraisal went 355%, mm-hmm. because it was commercial instead of residential. And then I'll have to tell you what that means in dollars.
Yeah, I mean that's actually a very good point as to whether, you know, if you create an overlay, and that's something we would have to investigate. You know, if you create an overlay district that would cover the whole district, where and that may affect all the property. I mean, from an appraisal, where if you take a conditional use permit approach, it should, you know, it's simply, you know, property by property, what people do on that particular property. So that's an excellent question.
Thanks, but Mr. Kelly can tell us. Tax appraisal.
We could take that a step forward. Right now, the one property is worthless. And you can say that a business come into an RA1, which some of this property is, and there isn't a business from 3rd Street coming out until you get up here to the Southern Bell or whoever now is property. So you've got a whole area that you're going to take and offer a chance for businesses that may be good neighbors or may not be good neighbors. And it's going to destroy the value of the neighborhood. If you don't think so, if you put one in your neighborhood, don't you think it would bother your neighbor, your property?
Let's go back to that picture you had years ago. One of the first, you had the
first slide here.
I don't know what slide it was, maybe it was.
What?
Probably back in the 50s.
That's probably the first slide, because I was on that.
This one.
The picture of downtown.
It was downtown.
Number five.
No.
That's actually the cover from the Sawyer site.
Well, this is larger than that, I believe. You have a larger picture of that.
He showed that on full screen. If you put it on full screen,
yeah, I'll get
it.
I can.
You can make it bigger that way, too.
Make that one larger. Ruin my slide here.
I'm Marvin Ralph with my wife Nancy. We've had a house over here on K Avenue. It's been in the family 65 years this year. A lot of you ain't that old. Excuse me.
Let me try to make it a little bit bigger.
Now.
Let me even get
a little bit bigger. That's good. When I first came down here, this was a service station right here. This was the office of the service station. It's called Christmas Service Station. From what I understand, it was built for a pumpkin cure. That's the way I know it. You know.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there was a diner on this side. You could get a half cantaloupe and vanilla ice cream. It was all good. I think it cost 15 cents back then. This is a later picture, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, there was a vacant lot here at one time. Then there was Clarence Sanders Fish Market. John Flowers had a barbershop behind that. There was a little small building there in 47 that was a realtor place until my granddad paid and bought the house from D.P. Lift that we have right now. This building on the very corner down here was a hotel.
You missed our liquor store.
Yeah. What?
You missed our liquor store.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Get on that.
I wasn't on that.
Get on that.
But anyway, I don't remember this side as far as the pier house, because we walked on that side to go out on the pier. I don't know when this was made right here. Restaurant, Snitties. This was Lemon Flowers. It was a big old red front grocery store right here. This was the post office. I don't remember this building. But Andy, you mentioned Andy Canutis a while ago. His mom and dad owned this, and they lived upstairs. Now this is my whole point. Business. Now this was not just, this was before Snitties. It was not Snitties at that time. There was you could buy a pound of Coca-Cola's in there. And this side of this building, and I'm not making any disparaging remarks, it was either Greek or Jew, but it sold beach trinkets and stuff like that. Business, post office. Was as far as Andy. I didn't count those, but that's probably what 10 or 11 businesses down there in that one block area. This side of the street was just it was grown over. There was no Big Daddies at all. on this side of the street, Lewis had the white grocery store. And that was all. And this is my point. Now, the picture you showed, there was parking coming up K Avenue. There was no parking up K Avenue back then.
There were no cars.
There what?
There were no cars.
Sure, there were cars. There was parking in the middle of the road down to the end. But my point is, as far as what you're talking about doing here, you don't, there's no apologies and parking underneath is not good. On the 50-foot lot, how people are going to get to the back? You're trying to have, well, that's my home over there. I don't need business, but let's say this. If that gets changed, I'm going to teach piano lessons over there. I ain't got the right to do it. I'm going to build a house out to the, literally 2.5 feet from the sidewalk, but that's what the setback is right now. And I will use the parking that you put over there for your business. I'm 76 years old. I plan on living a long time. But this letter, I think, Nancy, this letter that was sent, I guess you all got it, your property owner. Where is West 3rd Avenue?
I believe she meant to say West 3rd Avenue. I believe it was supposed to have said the west side of the 3rd Avenue.
Supposed to have said. Current zoning in this area is as follows. So in other words, what you're saying is not accurate. Is that what you're saying? You should say something.
Well, I'm not looking at it. I'm just listening to what you said. It says from west of 3rd Avenue.
Read what it says right down here as far as zoning.
Okay.
West 3rd. Where is West 3rd Avenue? There is no West 3rd Avenue.
No, there is no.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And something about what it said about this. You say, I say this, but that's what it always was. Well, it needs to be more. What are you doing there? I don't know.
I'm Craig Albrecht. I'm the chairman of the P&Z Commission. I am from here.
I know Dean. I know
David.
I don't know you.
Dennis Klaus. I'm on the P&Z Commission.
Dennis who?
Klaus.
Klaus.
Yes.
Steve Packley.
Now I'm on P&Z.
Well, I'm not trying to be a troublemaker, but I still think, like this gentleman mentioned parking a while ago, you had more businesses here and parking. No parking up K Avenue at all. Where the four houses are on the left side, or the right side going in, that plan was made to build that shut down on the corner of the land didn't come through. There were four houses across the corner, I mean, across the street, same thing. Bill, I believe, on those. When you drove down there, you drove parked across the ditch on both sides of the street. There was no sidewalk, anything. It was just a ditch. Down road was a seashell, kind of a little oval, high mound center road. Still have more businesses down there. What's the purpose of trying to have more if you don't, can't even, you know what I'm saying? Just like I think he said, and some of the stuff here, don't have one person interested in multi-development stuff. Well, I guess I said all of it. So. Dean, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
So, what would be the thoughts on increasing the use of the transit, or what is it, one that we've got now, or two?
The apartment's already one, apartment's already
two. Yeah, having said that, then if you allow a lawyer's office, what about an antique shop?
Well,
some small shops that would be intrusive for the neighbors and be allowed, even if it was conditional use, instead of trying to pack one use on top of another, just increase the allowable uses for that district.
That is one possible. Let me jump to that again. And again, this is just a conversation. Yes. We're not proposing or voting on anything.
I understand
this. This is just a conversation.
Well, I'd like to ask something. What happens to the historic districts of all these people, all these places? Do they not have any at all? Is everything modern and to the T, trimmed and so forth and so on? Or do they have any historic? See, I like history. I like to look at old houses. I like to see them. And I don't understand why you want to do away with the old town like that.
Actually, the mixed use is an attempt to create more of an old town feel, because the old town feel of the 1920s and 30s, in fact, I think, as you pointed out, right there, is that there were people living above those retail things in that old B1 picture right there. That's, in fact, what you're trying to get back.